This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What a sequence in Indianapolis as we welcome you back here to Live Bet Sunday, live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. He's Jonathan Bontobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. So we told you right before the break, the Colts end up getting stopped on that fourth down at the 9-yard line. Turn it over on down. Very next play, JVT, CJ Stroud throws a bad interception, sets the Colts back up, and Daniel Jones hits Alec Pierce for the touchdown, goes right over Kamari Lassiter's hands to fit it in there for Alec Pierce. Unfortunately, though, missed extra point as well. So Colts do take their first lead of the day, but it's 6-3 instead of 7-3. I mean, that was four plays in a row. You're like, what is happening?
Dropping dimes like he's got holes in his pockets. Whoa, we got there. An Indiana Jones sighting today. Yeah, you mentioned it. The Stroud pick, I think he's going to go down. Texans in general. I mean, Houston has to be themselves given this start. Indianapolis got off to as bad a start as possible, but four penalties, I think every single one of them outside of one, I think every one of them, though, pre-snap for Houston, the interception that you mentioned as well. This has been brutal to watch for the Texans, as well as a 1-4 mark on third downs. Got nobody to blame for themselves that they're trailing right now 3-0, or should be 6-3, by 3 points, as you mentioned, to Indianapolis, and the Colts with a little bit of life. 30-1 out the window now and the no touchdown. And how about Pierce, dude? This dude continues to deliver some of these big plays, does it again. And it's actually like the big play duo, if you will. Cam Bynum, as usual, in the midst of everything on defense, getting a turnover. And then you come back with Pierce. And I always love, you always like getting those. We saw this on Thanksgiving. We were on the air for Live Bet Thanksgiving. It was the Packers game where they turn away the Detroit Lions on a 3rd-and-2 and then a 4th-and-2 and then immediately come back with a Christian Watson bomb, like 51 yards down. I love it when you do that. You get a big play, you get an interception, screw this. You don't run it on first down to see what you can get. Go for the jugular the second you get it back in your favor. And sure enough, they connect on a touchdown and the Colts are up by 3.
Unfortunately, the PAT banged off the upright. Yep. So just a field goal game out there. Also,
stop the count.
The Carolina Panthers are like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. They take another lead, 17-14 over the Los Angeles Rams. Long drive, 12 plays, 60 yards, cut short. Did have to ultimately settle for the field goal with the Rams getting the stop. But Fitzgerald hits from 33 yards out, and they have a field goal advantage here with 5 to go in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really watched too. This has kind of been the one, like the redheaded stepchild of the morning window. Mm-hmm. I haven't really watched too much of what we have seen here. So we'll have to get some of the box score stats, see if we can sniff out something. By the way, as we talked about as well with the indicators that this game was going to go from bad to worse, 2nd-and-goal coming up for Miami. They could really take a big lead here against New Orleans. These guys.
Just saw a report in the college football world from Pete Nakos. Ole Miss requiring players to turn in phones heading into their team meeting right now, a source tells on.
I wonder what's going to happen.
Oh, what could it be?
Just so stupid. Just announce it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's not changed for good. I guess the yoga and the walks in the morning aren't really mattering too much, huh? Well, you got nothing? You got nothing? You bought in?
I know it was wishful thinking that he was going to stay, and I was trying to talk myself into it, but yeah, he's going to Baton Rouge.
Are we betting Carolina, or excuse me, are we betting the Rams here at some point? 17-14,
well,
Carolina up on top.
I already have them -4 in teasers, so I need them to pick up the pace. They're -5.5 on the live line right now. Live total, 58.5, all the early scoring we've had in this one. We talked about this being a low-scoring window. Every other game is on pace for an under, and yet we've got 31 combined points there.
They are outgaining Carolina, not by much, but still by about 30 yards. You know my favorite. A +0.9 net yard per play advantage for Los Angeles Rams as well. I think you could probably get this, or at the very least, maybe you're looking at a team total over, because the big thing you're losing here is obviously your -2 in the turnover column, one of which has directly led to a touchdown on a pick six.
And again,
and only
like
3.
Just to further the point about the way that the Rams offense is cooking, even with the 2 interceptions, that first pick was in the end zone. They were driving very efficiently.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a big reason to believe that's going to slow down. So here, let me look up.
You have a piece of paper?
I can get one for you.
I'm going to do some math really quickly on this because the other part of this is obviously in a short sample size and not that many drives. The Carolina Panthers, of course, have an explosive play that has really worked in their favor as well. So that's going to be something. Oh, I didn't think this is going to be like a whole thing. I apologize.
It's a really good notebook.
I won't. Can I just tear a piece out? I don't want to like.
No, because I know you don't like writing on a single piece of paper on top of a counter.
This is what you call a good partnership.
This is friendship. I'm looking to see this team total, though, for the Rams. 31.5. We got 14 right now with 5 to go in the second quarter.
That is very true.
Over is plus 105.
Okay. I'm doing some math here. Thoughts? I apologize.
The Carolina Panthers team.
You asking me my thoughts while I'm trying to do math?
Carolina, by the way, who is up 17-14 right now, their live team total is 26.5. So you think we can get two more scores out of them?
Okay. I'm such an idiot. I actually drew out a division problem. Like, why am I doing that? I have a calculator on my computer. So if you take away the 35-yard touchdown, again, it's not fair, but it just gives you an idea of how the rest of this game is going. If you take away the 35-yard touchdown catch and run from Chuba Hubbard, the Panthers are averaging 4.8 yards per play. So that's a really, obviously, not negative, but you're not as efficient as your 6.3 yards per play really indicates right now. That's very much being buoyed by the fact that Hubbard had that big play. So if we take the larger sample size of what Carolina's offense has looked like outside of the one big explosive, Rams are operating at a much more efficient level than Carolina is, which gives you a chance that you're going to be able to potentially come in here on a cheap number for the Rams and get it done. They're right now starting a drive. What are they on their own 30-yard line right now? This could be something where you maybe even see it here. The Rams take a lead for potentially good here in this game. But I think that cheap number might be something worth looking at for LA.
4.5 right now on the live line is a little bit of the juice laying that number, minus 120, but not anything too crazy. Again, 14-17 where we sit right now, 4.5 to go.
I'm sorry, everything moves fast. Did you mention that Woody Marks is back in this game?
I did not.
Okay, yeah, Marks
is
back.
Thank you for that update.
And he just had a big run. Texans moving again already, so they are inside the Colts' 30-yard line right now with 5 minutes, 59 seconds left to go in the second quarter.
Also, shout out my father, Rich Bonantoni, who is keeping tabs, watching, and listening to the broadcast live out there in Cleveland. We were asking about the weather. I guess in the broadcast, they said wind gusts between 27 and 51 miles per hour up there. And after the early quick start and the good scripted drive from the San Francisco 49ers, which I feel like we see kind of week in, week out, where Christian McCaffrey gets in the end zone, we have seen no scoring since. 45 seconds to go here in the second quarter. Big connection, though. And I think as I say that, we're getting some scoring. Browns
touchdown
on the
Browns.
Board.
There we go.
On 2nd and 9, Shedeur Sanders hits Harold Fannin wide open. And pending the extra point, we got a tie ball game here.
Well, and depending on whether or not it looked like Collins stepped out of bounds, we might have a touchdown here too in Indianapolis. He stepped out. All right, so they're going to have a first. It might be a first and goal. I think it should be a first and goal like the Colts 5-yard line. But the Texans are moving this ball too, inches away from this being a touchdown for Houston here too. So, all right, now we're starting to get some scoring as well. I thought your father was going to have some more attitude about the Charlotte Hornets or something like that. I thought that was going to be the check-in.
Oh, he was mad. He's mad about you about the Hornets, mad about you about, I guess, a play you gave out on the Jazz recently. So just
about the Jazz.
I don't know. I only half listened.
Okay. I'll have to go back. I'll have to go back and look at that one.
Dude, it is hysterical though. The way that he pulls out his phone and is just like bets everything we say on Money Moves. I said, why? Yeah, why are you betting the things we say are a lean?
Well, I was going to say, I can't really ask.
Dad, I didn't even bet that. I said specifically I didn't bet that. He's like, I don't know. I listened to this blonde chick on Money Moves. Thanks, Dad.
Friday, we were all about the Hornets against the Bulls. They got it done. I don't know.
How's Brandon Miller looking?
He's not going to win most improved, I'll tell you that much.
All right.
I apologize.
Ooh, we're going for 2?
Who's we?
In Cleveland, sorry.
Oh, you can't go for 2. It looks like they're going to go for 2, end of the half. I think, do they get the ball at halftime?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. By the way, touchdown, Houston. Nick Chubb into the end zone. Extra point is good. 10-6, the lead for the Texans. They get it right back there.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about real quickly, to go back to that Rams and Panthers game.
I've got nothing. I'm very insecure now that I know that your father's listening.
So, I don't know, which, again, I don't know why he's listening right now, because he was on the flight with me this morning from San Francisco following the Notre Dame-Stanford game last night. He and my brother and my little sister, they came out to the game. It was very fun, but a quick turnaround that, you know, is tough on me. Mm-hmm. Like, he wanted to come back on the early flight with me instead of taking the later flight specifically so he could stay up and watch this game. But I don't know why you're listening to me and listening to the game. I don't know how you're multitasking like that.
What are you talking about?
I didn't get the multitasking gift.
What are you talking about? Everybody should do that. Everybody should use this as a simultaneous experience while watching the NFL games.
Right. Silly me. Which is a good reminder. If you've got the VSiN Watch app, you should absolutely do the second screen experience there. During Thanksgiving, I actually had you up for live bet Thanksgiving in the corner.
Did you have the sound on?
Day. I was flipping on and
off. All right. There we go.
You got to flip on and off every day.
I was told we did a great job.
You did. Although it was weird when I did come on, and apparently I didn't tell enough people in the room that they were on television because they were very concerned afterwards. I said, I looked up on the TV and I saw myself. That's I don't know what to do. Beauty of it. Anyways, the question being, and we can maybe pick this up on the next half after the break, Chuba Hubbard getting the bulk of the play here in the running back room for the Carolina Panthers. He's got 7 carries, 37 yards on the ground, 2 receptions for 42, and obviously that long touchdown. Rico Dowdle, meanwhile, 5 carries and 10 yards for him. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been as explosive, so I would assume that you're probably safe and now kind of going back and forth here in terms of your carries and who's going to get what.
Sorry, pardon the laugh. I just got another text following up on that conversation that said it was Miami to win the ACC and the Natty that he's mad about. So listen.
Oh, okay. All right.
We had a whole conversation last night about, okay, can they get in? Why the head-to-head with Notre Dame? Like,
They're both going to be out. I'm sorry. Toast. Notre Dame's out. Miami's out.
Brutal. All right. We got to step aside. More Live Bet Sunday coming up after this.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Can't believe I missed earlier, but how about Bucks left tackle Tristan Wirfs reporting is eligible and getting in the end zone for the score for Tampa Bay? I love the big man touchdown, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. You have to appreciate it every time, even though they are few and far between.
The thick six, baby. Bucks up 10-0 here as we see the clock tick, 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 tick down.
A matter of semantics, a thick six is, I believe, reserved for a defensive lineman picking off and returning a ball for a touchdown, is it not?
I think it's just a big man touchdown in any way, shape, or form, and okay. It's thick with 2 C's.
Yes. All right. You are the professional play-by-play broadcaster, so I would acquiesce to your knowledge there.
Also, the Los Angeles Rams, we were talking about how this offense was cooking. They score again. Blake Corum scores from 2 yards out as the Rams go up 21-17 on the Carolina Panthers on the road. 7-play, 80-yard drive capped by Corum. 144 left to go here in the second quarter as the Panthers take back over.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of, and the numbers would back it up, although they are in the red zone now, but seeing a lot of, they really don't have any other options other than Kirk Cousins, huh? 10 of 14, 77 yards, 5.5 yards per attempt. Robinson just ran for about 5, so they got a 2nd and 5 from the 15 of New York. But this has not been a great start for Atlanta, for sure.
Oh, well, don't have Drake London. Don't have your starting quarterback. I don't know how much of this. So have you been paying attention enough to this? Because I don't, based on at least the numbers, it doesn't look like Kirk Cousins having a bad day.
No,
it's not a good day. It's a lot of dink and dunk. But
yeah, it's 5.5 yards per attempt on 14 passes. No, I have not. I'm sorry. I'm just a little baffled here.
Bijan Robinson, 12 carries for 90 yards. So cash his over for those of you who got involved in the run game.
So the Colts on a 3rd and 12 or so just ran it up the middle and are now going out there for a 4th and 10 with their offense. So, I mean, again, I don't really mind this if you're going to go for it. Let's see if they actually do. But I'm perplexed as to why the play call on a 3rd down would be a run up the middle on like 3rd and 10. I don't understand what that was at all. Shane Steichen, at times, I've said this before, there's times where you look at some of the play calling and decision making, you're like, dude, what was that?
They're just for a little inside baseball for those of you listening at home. So both Jonathan Von Tobel to my left and our producer Preston are both Colts fans, and the disgust with which I have heard both of you say, Shane Steichen, like, what are we doing?
I mean, at times you just don't, it just doesn't really. So there's 2 instances now that I'm just a little confused by. This one, so again, to paint the accurate picture, it's 2 minutes, 51 seconds left on the clock in the second quarter. You have a 3rd and 10 from the Houston 42. You run up the middle for no gain. then you try to draw them off sides to get a fourth and five? And then what? What are you going to do? You're going to go for it there, I guess? I don't understand what the logic is there on the third down if you were just going to run it up the middle. The other that we were complaining about, if you go a couple of drives earlier when they turn it over on downs, they did a direct snap to Tyler Warren, who was lined up under center, which, by the way, if you need an indicator that Daniel Jones is not healthy, it's that right there. How many times have we seen the Indianapolis Colts this year on a fourth and short just run a quarterback sneak with Daniel Jones because he's big, he's tall, he can just push through it? That would tell you that he can't push off that leg with the same strength. So they tried to do something different with Warren. Warren fumbles the snap. If he's unhealthy and if you can't do your usual thing, one of two, either take the points in a 3-0 game at that point, which I'm not a big proponent of, or how about just run a play, like run an actual play? And yet they don't do that. So former UNLV quarterback and head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Shane Steichen, not doing well. What is the look of joy on your face?
Forgive me. My attention was being drawn to the end of the half in 49ers Browns, where, just to take you back a little bit, Brock Purdy, despite the heavy winds that we've seen out there in Cleveland, slicing and dicing through it. I know last week I was having a lot of questions about, like, how is Brock Purdy throwing the football? Lots of floaters. Is he able to push off of that toe properly? 13-yard pass hits Pearsall. 12-yard pass hits Juwan Jennings. Gets George Kittle deep for 33 yards to set up what would be a go-ahead field goal at the half. Just slicing through that wind. Matt Gay hits the 25-yard field goal. And when I say hit, I mean it literally, because it bounced off the goalpost and looked like it was going to pop out as a doink and ends up popping in from, so hits the left side of the post, goes in on the right. Awesome. So 49ers up 10-8 over Cleveland at halftime. And yes, the eight, because Cleveland was able to convert a 2-point conversion.
And a very impactful drive there, because you mentioned it. It takes away any first half money line plays in the Cleveland Browns, although they do cover because they were catching three in the first half. The other pushes the game over the first half total by a point. First half total closed 17 there, and we get 18 points in the first half. So we are over in that game, and we're waiting for the results in some of these drives. Don't look now, but the New Orleans Saints are
knocking at the door.
Hell yeah, on the verge of the red zone right now. First and 10 coming up. They are at the Miami 22-yard line right now. This pass is going to fall incomplete, but for New Orleans, this is considered knocking on the door.
Dude, not even kidding you. As you say that, I read a tweet. The Saints' best drive of the day, still been kind of ugly, but they're knocking at the door.
Hell yeah, dude. That's what you do every time. Always knocking. It's one of the best ones out there in terms of the cliches. Also, Falcons tie it up. Touchdown.
Tyler Algier, 1-yard run.
Yep. So that looms large. 9 seconds left. The Jets are going to cover this first half, barring some shenanigans, and we're going to go under the first half total. As I write that down.
Okay. Yeah, Brock Purdy. I'm pretty impressed with the way that drive came through. Bad conditions against a really good defensive line. Had some really good throws, especially that one downfield to George Kittle. Really good stuff.
And I think we're going to get a pick six here for Miami. Ooh. No. All right, he's going to say they're going to take him down at the 40-yard line. Just like that, the best drive for New Orleans ends in calamity, as this is going to be picked off and returned to the New Orleans 40-yard line. So we could get an opportunity for Miami to potentially push this game over the total. We've still got plenty of time left in the first half, and the Miami, of course, is going to cover in the first half as a 3-point favorite, shutting them out 13-0.
Did just get moments ago some breaking news in college football. No, it is not the one you think, although we already know that one. Michigan State, Jonathan Smith, officially out.
Wow. Has Oregon State hired their head coach yet?
I don't think so. No.
I wonder if they bring him back. That's funny.
He probably shouldn't have left.
I thought there was going to be such a good hire.
I understand wanting to leave at that time with the uncertainty of the conference and all of that. But I think he was a good fit there and he was doing good things with the program. So sad to see what happened. I mean, Oregon State was awful this year, but maybe we'll see what that looks like. John Summerall to Florida, I think, is interesting. What a ascension quickly he has had in the college football ranks, from Troy to Tulane and now the Florida Gators. A big rise in a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting to me too, because, like, for those of you that follow college football like that, Willie Fritz did an unbelievable job at Tulane, and I was pretty surprised when he took the Houston job. Like, I get that it was a bigger paycheck and a better spot, obviously, than where you were at Tulane, but I thought that he would have gotten a bigger job than Houston. And then to see, coming out of the same program, Summerall go from there to Florida in the SEC just kind of shows what could have been, I guess, potentially. I don't know. Just my two cents on the matter.
I'm not ignoring Stormy for anybody who's wondering. I'm going through our first half sides and totals to see where we're at. Where are the Titans at? We got a 4th and 2 coming up with 25 seconds left to go 15-3. In the second quarter. Where on the field are we talking? All right, yeah, you're on the verge of the red zone. You're knocking on the door of knocking on the door. So you have to get a couple of yards here, and then you can be considered knocking on the door. They will not get it. So one would assume 20 seconds left. You're probably kneeling this out, are you not, if you're Jacksonville? Just get in the locker room. Let's see. You're also, the Titans are getting the ball. It's 20 seconds left. You got 3 timeouts. Try to take a shot potentially and get into field goal range if that's going to be the case.
Okay, we've officially reached the half as well in New York. Yep. 7-all where we closed that one out with the Atlanta Falcons and Jets. Still about 38 seconds to go in Indianapolis as the Colts trail 10-6 right now.
And this is a big sequence too because the Texans are trying to get into field goal range and they're going to get the kickoff when they come out of the locker room as well. So if you can sandwich together scoring drive here, obviously best case scenario would be 2 touchdowns, but if you can get a field goal realistically and then come out with an opening drive touchdown in the second half, that would be a 13-point swing in your favor if you execute properly, Stormy.
Man, I almost got on a highlight replay of a Devon Achane touchdown earlier. I was like, what? No, still 13-0 right now.
Yes, it is. Who'd you think? You had something earlier, didn't you? Didn't you think that like Cam Ward had like lost a fumble or something?
Yeah, I read a tweet that was just very misleading in the verbiage. It was like Cam Ward sacked fumble, and then it had and then it had the space Titans still recover.
Oh yeah,
like okay, you can put that together better.
Don't you know that we're trying to execute a live betting show here?
Come on, don't you know? In social media, we read the headlines, mm-hmm. We read the hits.
All right, 13-0, and with 2 seconds left, the Dolphins are going to line up for a 48-yard field goal to make it 16-0. Saints are doing their best, man. Saints are doing their best to kind of hang around, at least defensively, but this offense is absolutely awful.
Good reminder. I know we talk about this all the time up at VSiN.com, all of the different tools that we have available. When you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get unlimited access to all of the articles, the best bets, but also our new AI player prop projection tool from Opta AI, the trusted data source behind elite soccer analytics in the UK. You get data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. All you need to do is search their name and the specific prop you're looking for, plus exclusive NBA player prop projections right now as well. And all of them are immediately compared to the DraftKings lines that are live to help you find value. Again, access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. As these clocks continue to wind down, JVT will get you those halftime numbers next when we return on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, we are at halftime for everything here in the early window of this week 13 NFL slate. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back on Live Bet Sunday. And JVT, I see the pen over there hard at work as you go through all of the halftime numbers. What cashed, what didn't, what can you tell everybody at home before we look ahead to what we can bet here in the second half?
All right, so in totality, favorites in the first half. Again, first half favorites, 4-3 against the spread. Totals, a 5-2 to the under, if I could speak in English here. So a low-scoring first half, a little bit of a bad beat, if you will, although I don't know what's going on here. So this could push you, so keep that mind when it comes to some of these totals, because this first half in Jacksonville just won't end. Jacksonville Jaguars tried to get some points out of this drive. They were going to attempt a Hail Mary when they had a 1st and 10 with 1 second left. Instead, it looked like there was a penalty called, and now we're going to line up for a field goal. So if you bet a first half under, this is a little tough for you because this will push the total. So instead of being 5-2 to the under, we're probably going to be 4-2-1 if this field goal is good. It is up. And good. It is good. So that falls right on the number of 21. So scratch that. 4-2-1 to the under. And if you had a first half under for Jacksonville and Tennessee, you're feeling a little salty right now, considering that at least is a push. But favorites getting it done, at least for the most part. Not a single underdog has won a first half so far today.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're covering, but none of them won the first half.
So a couple games that we wanted to discuss as we get set here for the second half, the Rams up 21-17 in Carolina right now. We were talking a lot about that offense and potential for the team total over 31.5. Well, that's now 34.5. Mm-hmm. Second half line, 4.5. Full game, 7.5, which is still much shorter, obviously, than that closing 10.5 number. There have been a couple opportunities to buy low on the Los Angeles Rams, but do you think with an opportunity to reset in the second half that they come out here and start to finally pull away? Worth noting, however, real quickly, Carolina does get the ball first.
Yeah.
So take that into consideration as well.
This might not be fair, but I'll do it anyway. I would say yes, first off, to answer the question up front, I would lay it with Los Angeles. Up 21-17, despite being down 2 in the turnover column. One of those is directly leading to a touchdown, a defensive touchdown. It was a pick 6 from Matthew Stafford. If you take away the Chuba Hubbard 35-yard catch and run, the Carolina Panthers, the box score would tell you they're averaging 5.9 yards per play. The reality is every other down, if you accumulate those, they're averaging only 4.6 yards per play. Bryce Young, 6 yards per pass attempt so far. I'm going to assume that that's not going to, or excuse me, that this overall box score isn't really going to keep up. And as well, you look at some of the others that we're seeing here too. I think the one thing you can hold your hat or hang your hat on potentially is the rushing attack. The other problem is storming the 5.8 yards per attempt on the ground for Carolina. Much of that stems from Bryce Young running for 24 yards on a single carry. So you have these two explosives that are really buoying the fact that this box score looks a lot better for Carolina, as well as a defensive touchdown. The reality is every other play in between is showing you there's a massive chasm between the Rams and the Panthers. And I would assume that we're probably going to begin, we're going to get a game the rest of the way that looks more like that second quarter, in which the Rams outscored them 14-3, thoroughly dominated them and moved up and down, as opposed to what we saw at the beginning of the game.
Should we fire on it? Because I'm pretty down. -4.5, second half, even money.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. -4.5 for the game.
Yep.
Now for the game, for the second half.
Yeah,
sorry,
so seven and a half yes. for the game. So just over a touchdown.
Yes.
Need to win by 8 points or more. The Rams defense also, just keep in mind, we talked about how good this defense has been throughout the course of the year. Entering today on the season, allowing 16.3 points per game, they've given up 17 at the half to the Carolina Panthers. That is not the norm. So you have to imagine, in addition to those underlying metrics that you mentioned for what Carolina has done so far to get points up on the board, the defense is much better than this, and maybe they make some of those adjustments at half to...
Well...
Go ahead.
I mean, hidden actually in plain sight. They haven't given up 17. They've given up 10.
Correct.
Yeah, yes. So they have been playing, you know, to their level. Again, you factor in all of this. Outside of one explosive and a pick six, like you're talking about a team that has kind of played to their level that we know. Yeah. So I do think that anything under that pre-flop number is worth it. So yeah, I'm in. Let's do it.
All right, let's roll. Anything else you think as we approach that? So I'll hit you with some of these numbers that are available right now. These are second half lines. So for anybody who maybe this is one of your first times that you're getting involved in a halftime, this is only for the score of the second half. So when I say Texans +1 in Indianapolis, that is specifically for the second half. So it's not taking the full game into account. So that is the spread, though, for the second half. In Texans, Colts, Indy laying 1. Total for the second half, 22 points. Pick'em in Jags, Titans. Second half total, 19.5. It is juiced to the over, -120. For the aforementioned Rams and Panthers, we mentioned that spread, 4.5. The total, 23. Saints, Dolphins. Miami laying 0.5 going into the second half. Live total 19.5, juice to the under at -120. And then the Falcons and Jets, New York +3 at home for the second half. Live total 17.5, juice to the under as well at -120. Some weather impact in that game.
Having not watched, so take that with a, you know, take the rest of this with a grain of salt. The Falcons do have all the indicators you're looking for a team that could pull away in the second half. You've outgained your opponent by 100 yards. 5.1 yards per play to 3.1. So on a per play basis, you're up by 2 yards per play. The thing that has held you back, you've turned the ball over, you lost a fumble, but the Jets aren't doing anything on offense. You're down in the turnover column. You're 1 of 5 on third downs. You would think that water finds its level here for Atlanta, and some of these other indicators are that you're going to be able to not get back into this because you're tied, but pull away and eventually win and cover. What was the Atlanta number for the second half?
-3, even money.
Okay, so you're just laying 3 for the game there because it's a tie game. So I think you're essentially there pre-flop, but I think that would make some sense. We're about to get started again here in the second half, but I would look for Atlanta to potentially pull away and be able to cover that number.
One thing I did fail to mention about Los Angeles, to go back to that Panthers game briefly, we did see running back Kyren Williams exit the game in the first half. He is still questionable to return with an ankle, so we'll keep tabs on that if he were to come back. Also, as we look ahead to the afternoon and evening slate, I'm seeing some reports come out because there were some questionables about Dalton Kincaid, about Josh Palmer for the Buffalo Bills later. Palmer in sneakers, not partaking in the pregame routes on air with the quarterbacks, at least to start. So probably a sign that he is going to be among the inactives a little bit later.
Okay. That's pretty big.
Yeah, definitely worth noting.
All right. Second and five for New York. We're back on the field for the Jets and the Falcons. So that's one. I think you and I are just on the Rams right here for the second half.
Yep.
Nothing on Atlanta, but I'd be looking to pull away. I do wonder, too. I mean, looking at Indianapolis and Houston, this is pretty much cut and like this is exactly where I think we expected them to be. There's no real big edge for either team. Texans have more first downs and 30 more yards. However, per play, there's a slight edge toward Indianapolis. Turnovers, edge in favor of Indy. Penalties in favor of Indy. I think these teams are exactly what we thought they were going to be.
Can you hit me with some of the numbers for the 49ers and Browns game? Because so San Francisco up 10-8 right now. Third quarter just got underway a couple minutes ago. San Francisco's laying 4.5 on the live line. This is a number that closed 6. What are some of the indicators telling you about that game right now?
I mean, pretty even, although I will say, you might be, are we looking to buy low on Christian McCaffrey here? 6 carries and 9 yards at halftime. The one touchdown per carry for the 49ers overall, 1.9 yards per rush. We know they're much better than that.
Yes.
But statistically, this is one of the better run defenses in the NFL. Does that continue? Because that is a pretty big edge. Outside of everything else, it's not really big for Cleveland. But
I'll hit you with the numbers. Yeah. So the rush yards prop set at 34.5.
For McCaffrey?
For McCaffrey.
That's low.
13.5 on the attempts.
Okay. I mean, he's at what, 6, did I say? 6 attempts?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a tantalizingly low number for a dude who can break one of those runs off with a single carry.
The combined rush and receivings total, 62.5.
Yeah, he's got 13. I mean, they've really bottled up McCaffrey here. I mean, that's
which surprised me. Like, obviously, we talk about it a ton, how good this Cleveland Browns defense is. I just very firmly believed, because of the wind implications here, that you were going to rely on Christian McCaffrey a lot. I told you, I bet his over 18.5 attempts for the game, as he does run the rock as we look up at the screen for a first down. Yep. But do we see more of that shift here in the second half? Just try to establish the run game, because you haven't done so far.
One has to think. Again, my assumption, this is not really based on anything other than he's too good to not at least be able to do this.
And now with that run, the adjusted rush yards go up to 42.5
I mean, that was like a 7-yard carry. So that's getting you up to 16 already. So that's
going to be a big chunk. But just speaking to the buy low that we were saying, you know.
That seemed really low. I mean, again, too, you're up by two, but you're able to still execute the way that you want. He's going to be a focal part of this game plan. They're going to run the ball. Even with a lead, if they start to extend this out, that means more carries for him as well. That did seem pretty low.
Shout out to Jason for chiming in, joining on the conversation with us, said he locked in Rams -3.5 with a profit boost. Let's go. Let's go indeed. Rooting for Los Angeles here the rest of the way. And also Fred's for saying he has a masterclass in multitasking. He's got VEASAN, the Bucks and Cardinals, the Texans, Colts, and the Rams and Panthers all on. And yes, they are the games in his early parlay. Kudos to you. Multitasking, joining us on this Sunday. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on VSIN Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. In this holiday season, you can make it unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. From holiday roast to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks is delivering top-quality meals and memorable gifts to bring everybody together this season. Every steak is perfectly aged and hand-carved for exceptional flavor. And right now, as a VSiN exclusive, you're getting 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. Head over to omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. see site for details. Now, typically, JVT, I feel like throughout the course of the year, we've done a pretty good job with our in-game thoughts and not a good start for our Panthers-Rams in-game bet. Laid the 4.5 in the second half here, and right away, opening drive in the third quarter for the Carolina Panthers. They go down and score. Bryce Young hits Jalen Coker with a dime for 33 yards. They're up 24-21 now in the third.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Young with the very good throw, as you're mentioning there, after really doing nothing in the previous downs. Yeah, on fourth and three, that's the backbreaker. The fact that this looked like it was going to be get off the field time and instead you give up the touchdown. Maybe we should have gone with the other thought, which was Atlanta can pull away here. Touchdown Falcons, 13-7, 9:36 left to go in the third. They take their first drive, go right downfield and get into the end zone. That was another one of the game indicators, if you will. We were looking around and saying, well, if there was going to be one, maybe there's another one here. And sure enough, the Falcons take a 14-7 lead against New York. But we got plenty of time for Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams, and they are already moving the ball too. So,
yep. And another thing that we discussed in that game for the Rams was the team total over 31.5. They're sitting at 21 right now, and the expectation is that you could get 10 more points as Matthew Stafford is taken down. Big sack on second down.
No sack lunch. No.
Not doing that when it's against me.
That's right.
You know, I save the that's what Maryland does for when it's a game that I'm not involved in.
Jason, if you're wondering, because you tuned in late, we were talking about where would you take your $500 gift card. You can do it to any restaurant.
Yes. For Profit X, that's what they're doing. If you win their weekly prize, you get a $500 restaurant gift card on Profit X to your restaurant of choice. This past week's winner had Texas Roadhouse, and we were discussing what chain we would want to go with.
Did you? Okay.
Could that count as a fast food restaurant, I wonder?
I mean, it's a chain for sure.
Because if I could get a Bojangles gift card for $500.
You're saying that. Yes. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
That's why I said too, like Starbucks, like somebody like you who goes, I think, almost every day.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sweet for you too.
That would help me for about a month.
I don't know if this is a real tweet that I saw. So, you know, take that for what it's worth before I say this. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like the lore behind this name, that some woman just bought Chris Steakhouse and instead of rebranding it, it's just Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Wow. Big if true.
it's one of the laziest branding moments you'll ever see.
Like, can you imagine if somebody bought out Culver's?
Right.
Like you bought out Culver's.
John's Culver's. Yeah. Like that's ridiculous.
Get your cheese curds here.
Indianapolis Colts are bending again, by the way. Houston Texans driving downfield. They are already inside of the 20. So definitely
knocking on the door
and ready to take an even bigger lead, already up by 4 on the road against Indy. This is the first drive of the second half, though, so we'll see if Indy can respond, even if they give up points. We still have yet to get this done. But still, right now, good drive and a good red zone drive at that for Houston right out of the gate.
Right. How are your Saints doing?
They're moving. I mean, right now, look, they had another drive that was right there, almost, as we called it, knocking on the door, but they ended up throwing an interception. Tyler Shuck did, and that got returned the other way. They are in the red zone, so they are officially knocking on the door right now. Down 16-0. Look, you're catching 6. If you can get a touchdown here, you're not dead by any means. And the defense for New Orleans, we should give them some credit, at least doing their best to keep the Saints in it. Touchdown, New Orleans. Here we go. We got a little bit of life. Matt Eumanns always says, nothing worse than hope. And Chris Olave has given me just that as they are into the end zone. Okay,
there we go. And for a guy, second game back, trying to get healthy here.
Mm-hmm.
Big score. There you go.
Come on now.
You're getting closer.
Give me a little bit of life.
That was a cool little graphic thing.
The tool that they just used?
Yeah. They turned that around quick.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call that for anyone who's not watching or doing the simulcast, if you're in the radio right now. It was an immediate replay of the route run and showing exactly where he went. I'm not verbalizing this well, but it was really cool.
No, you're not. They're going for 2, so they can cut this to an 8-point game. Side note, put a feather in that one really quickly. I just literally drew a feather on the notebook, so don't forget. How many would you guess? So with this touchdown, where would you guess the yards per play for New Orleans in this game so far?
So it was 1.7 earlier, right?
Yeah, it was a couple of drives ago.
Go. It's still really low, I'm assuming.
Maybe, I don't know.
2.5.
3.6. So again, this offense really hasn't done much here. But the New Orleans defense has done its job. They're holding Miami to a pretty average, barely above average, 5.8 yards per play. 3-7 on third downs. You can get another stop and get your team right back into this. Two-point conversion's good. All of a sudden, you got a little bit of life. So it's only a one-possession game. Speaking of, all right, this is an important question. This is the feather in the cap. This may or may not really be and hinge upon our relationship as a show if you answer this incorrectly.
Hold on. Is this a touchdown?
Yes, it is. Adonai Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell shows up for the New York Jets.
And
how about that?
And you doubted him.
Yes.
And you doubted him.
After the numerous drops, I figured, yes, you would doubt. No, I mean, I've always said, I think he's a talented player.
I told you. Just like the great Sheryl Crow once said, sometimes a change could do you good. And maybe that's it for A.D. Mitchell. Look at that.
He wasn't awful when he was with Indy. He was pretty good.
You were pretty critical of him. I don't know if that's a good get in the trade. You said that.
I don't know where this revisionist history is coming from. It's a fine trade. He's a talented player.
That's not the energy you were given when the trade happened on Money Moves.
I was also very like blah on the trade both ways. You were
appalled. you weren't hype on Sauce Gardner like I thought that you maybe should have been. Which, by the way, we did get an update on him. He exited the game with what is reportedly a calf strain. Although some early reports, I believe it was Tom Pelissero, said that the Achilles is intact and there is a belief he avoided major injury. So that is a good feather in the cap for the Colts for you. There you go.
Damn, I didn't get the date. That was a nifty stat. Bryce Young, the first Panthers quarterback with 2 touchdown passes or 30 or more yards in a game since Cam Newton. I don't know what the date was on it, but that's the way it's gone. Anyway, back to the question. Depends on how you answer this is whether or not I call Steve Cohen and ask to be removed from the show. Your thoughts on the Eagles going for 2. In the game against Chicago the other day.
Did you hate it?
Don't look at me. I know what I feel about this.
Well, let me hear
No,
spiel.
No. I need to hear your thoughts first. Scoring a touchdown and going for 2 in a 9-point game. With about 3 minutes left.
I think it's fine in what you should do.
Thank you. All right. Good answer. It's all I needed.
Okay.
It's all I needed.
You're very up in arms with the take the point. People, right?
It's ridiculous. It's not even take the points. It's again, people fail to realize this.
You're gonna need the two point conversion yes. Anyways.
You need the information.
You're gonna need it. Yes. So it doesn't matter when you do it, you're going to need it regardless.
Yes. So you need to know what you need to do if you don't get it.
Correct.
I don't understand this concept of you have to wait until the last play to go and do it. Because what if you don't get it with 2 seconds left on the clock?
Then also it's an even more pressure packed moment.
Of course.
So I would argue that's more difficult to execute in that moment.
Yes.
So I don't know.
No, you do know.
So you're gonna stay on the show?
Yes.
This time?
Yep. To your detriment, actually. You were probably hoping that you would answer it wrong so that I could then request and get out of here. Which that request would totally be fulfilled. With actually no hesitation whatsoever from our bosses. All right, 13-6. Houston cannot score on this drive. Big deal for the Indianapolis Colts. And speaking of big deals, we got a 4th-and-1 coming up, and the Browns are going for it. How about this? From their own 34-yard line.
Okay.
Here we go. Shedeur Sanders and the Cleveland Browns.
Is this just
Fannin.
Jump?
Nope, it's Fannin. He fumbled the snap.
No!
For the second time today, a head coach has decided to forego their quarterback running a 4th-down play and instead line their tight end under center. And that tight end, for the second time today, has fumbled that snap. And for the second time today, it has been recovered by the defense.
Let's go.
I had 2 nickels.
And the immediate cutaway to Robert Saleh. Love to see it.
I mean, that's ridiculous. If you're going to go for it, just go for it. Why take the ball? Again, just give it to your best players. I don't know why you put Fannin under center and ask him to take a snap when instead you could just go for it. But Browns aren't going to get it. It's 49ers are going to take over here at about the Cleveland 35-yard line.
I don't know why Saleh needed to take off the beanie to celebrate.
That's right.
Like
sometimes you do so. Sometimes
he said
things.
The ball head needs to be seen.
You got
to
be cold.
Oh, yeah.
Bare skin.
It looks super cold out there. They said with the wind feels like 17.
What about the top of his head with no skin or with no hair?
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine.
No skin. All right, let's get a stop, New Orleans. Come on.
That took a turn. Decent field position, though, for the 49ers as they take over. First
McCaffrey,
play
big run.
Goes to McCaffrey. Little spin move. Getting stopped. Little short gain, maybe 5 yards. Okay, we got to step aside. More Live Bet Sunday coming up after this.